It's going to feel very strange today to share this sermon on the Sunday after Easter, because this sermon was planned for the Sunday before Easter, on Palm Sunday. And this sermon is the final sermon in the sermon series that we've had on the book of Joel. Now, as you know, the devil kicked me down with an infection on Palm Sunday, and I was not able to be here, so I decided that today I would pretend like it's Palm Sunday. And today I will also finish the series on the book of Joel. If you leave here today totally confused, I will understand. Have you ever seen a movie or a TV show or read a novel that you really, really liked and you just couldn't wait to tell other people about it, the characters, the story, and all the excitement about it? But you stop short and you said, but I don't want to share the ending with you. I don't want to spoil it for you. Have you ever done that? The thrill is usually in the final chapter. The thrill is usually in the ending, in the closing sequence. When you're reading a novel, and you get to the final chapter, the heartbeat increases and you think, oh, I'm finally going to figure out how this comes out. But there's mixed emotion because you don't want it to be over at the same time. Well, in God's Word, we have been given the final chapter over and over and over in a variety of ways. And we've been reviewing the final chapter through this little book of Joel throughout the season of Lent. It's filled with mystery, and it's filled with mixed emotions as well. It's about the end of times. It's going to be one of the most wonderful times in history. It's going to be one of the most terrible times in history, filled with mixed emotions. Because God is going to punish and purge and purify. And you and I are going to be there. One way or another, you and I are going to be there. And the question is, are you ready? Now, today I want to jump around in time a little bit. I hope you'll try to stay with me as I do that. Step back in time to the first Palm Sunday. The people of Jerusalem were filled with all kinds of anguish because a vast army had invaded their land and turned their lives upside down. Like the locust of the book of Joel, when he described a vast army coming in, the Romans had come into Jerusalem and all of Palestine, and they had turned everything upside down. It was just like Joel chapter 1, verse 2, a nation has invaded my land, powerful and without number. It has the teeth of a lion, the fangs of a lioness. Could it be that the people in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday were remembering the book of Joel and the prophecy of Joel? And the question on everyone's mind was, how is this final chapter going to evolve? What's going to happen? Are we going to be rescued from these Romans, or are we going to be destroyed altogether? Let's call unto God, because God gave us a promise through the prophet Zechariah, who said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes, righteous and having salvation and gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was a very unique prophecy. It was filled with hope. It was filled with rescue. And Jerusalem needed to be rescued from the Romans. They were ready for it. And the word spread quickly that day, I'm sure. Did you hear? The prophet, the one that John baptized in the river and said, "This is the one." That prophet is going to enter Jerusalem today, riding on a donkey, just like it was prophesied, and rescue is at the doorstep. Surely they must have thought, this is the beginning of the final chapter. Surely God is going to punish and purge and purify. Now, flash back with me in time to the book of Joel, who began his final chapter in chapter 3 this way. "In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem." Now there's a message of hope. There's a message of rescue right there. God promised to restore. Now flash forward in time again to Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday. There was so much hope among God's people that day that they had a demonstration in the streets. It was a demonstration that was filled with hope for the future. Now flash back to Joel's final chapter. I feel like I'm in a segment of This Is Us. If you've ever watched that TV show, just flipping back and forth in time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just forget I said it. All right, back to Joel once again. He said, "In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat." Now there's a problem. There is no valley of Jehoshaphat. There was a valley where Jehoshaphat fought, but it's not called the valley of Jehoshaphat. But the name Jehoshaphat means the Lord judges. Now that kind of fits, doesn't it? Because we're talking about the final judgment. Add to that the fact that Joel, in his prophecy, at another place, a little bit later, verse 14, called the valley by a different name. He said, "For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Oh, that also fits, doesn't it? Judgment and decision. As far as God's people were concerned on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ crossed the valley. He went from the Mount of Olives to Mount Zion through the Golden Gate. And as far as they were concerned, this was the valley of decision. It was for them the opening of the final chapter. There is hope. But as much hope as there was in the streets of Jerusalem that day, there was also anger. There was tremendous anger, visual anger, enough to fill the evening news that day. It was very clear that the people thought that God was angry with them also. And he was going to get rid of the locust plague of the Roman army and the Roman Empire and restore his people as promised. Punish and purge and purify. But Jesus surprised them. He did not go to the court of Herod. He went to the court of the Lord. He went to the temple. And yes, he was angry, all right. He was angry because the people had turned his house of prayer into a money-making bazaar. And the Lord entered into judgment, all right, on that day, but it was against them, his people, not on the army of locusts, not on the people that they hated so much. Back to Joel. His final chapter, chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder in Jerusalem. Back to Palm Sunday. That's exactly what happened. The Lord was angry in the temple that day, and He roared. I'm not suggesting this was the fulfillment of the book of Joel. I'm suggesting that this was a foreshadowing of the final chapter yet to come. And it was framed in divine anger. Joel 3:16, the Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. Indeed, the earth and the sky did tremble. Just a few days later, between the sixth and the ninth hour, on Palm Sunday, there was tremendous hope. But it turned to disappointment. And disappointment turned to anger. And anger turned to crucifixion. But the full prophecy of Joel and of others still had not come to fruition. The true final chapter had not come. God's day of judgment is still before us, brothers and sisters, not behind us. So, how does all of this relate to us today? I cannot help but see a familiar pattern. Hope. In our nation has turned to disappointment. And disappointment among the people of our nation has turned to anger. And anger is going to result in God only knows what. There is a lot of anger in the streets of America today. There is tremendous anger in the news broadcasts today. We are not a united state of America. We are a divided nation and an angry people. And men and women have died to preserve this nation. Our forefathers feared that a foreign army like locusts were going to come in and invade us and destroy us. And they fought hard to make sure that that does not happen. And that fight is still continuing. But did our forefathers ever think that the locust could be the army of Satan? The devil has invaded the United States of America. Did they ever think that a nation that is built on God and built on faith could be undone by the devil? Did they ever perceive that the final battle could be a spiritual one and not a physical one? The Lord is coming. And just as there was great joy in the streets on that first Palm Sunday, there's going to be great joy when Jesus returns. But He is coming to punish and purge and purify. Isaiah told us about that day of judgment in his chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. He said, "The land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. So man will be brought low and mankind humbled." Our land is full of idols. I don't have to tell you that. And we are guilty today of worshiping the results of our fingers, the things that man has made. Zephaniah, like Joel and Isaiah, said this about God's final chapter in his chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He said, "That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet." Have you heard that before? and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Let me read that again. Why is all this happening? Because they have sinned against the Lord. The anger that we are experiencing in this nation today is nothing compared to the anger that God is going to unleash against sin in this world on the final day of judgment. God's not only going to punish those who have rejected Him and who have rejected His Son, He's going to punish those among us who bow down to idols, who worship the creation of their own fingers. He is going to punish those who continue to sin against Him. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Wake up, people of God. Rend your hearts and not your garments. He is going to punish and purge and purify. 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. Can you imagine? The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Now the next verse, 2 Peter 3:11. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And here is God's answer. You ought to live holy and godly lives. You ought to live holy and godly lives. Are you listening, brothers and sisters? These are warnings from God's Word. We need to examine ourselves. Are we like the money changers in the temple on Palm Sunday? Or are we true worshipers of the Almighty Living Christ? Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. And this from Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. Now listen to these words, foreshadowing Palm Sunday. See, I send my messenger who will prepare the way for me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? For He will be like a refiner's fire. He will punish and purge and purify. If you were here 2 weeks ago already, but not yet. It's all connected. Sin makes God angry. We sin. God hates it. God sent His Son to a cross because of sin. But God will not tolerate sin forever. Eventually, He will punish. He will purge so that He can purify. When Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, many of the non-believers hated Him. And they wanted to eliminate Him. But when Jesus entered the temple on that Palm Sunday, many of the believers were so disappointed in Him that they wanted to eliminate Him. as well. Anger took over. Events unfolded on Golgotha. The sun grew dark. The earth trembled. That could have been God's final chapter right there. But miraculously, it was not. Joel's final chapter says this in 3:16 and 17. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Let's bring this to an end. Today we come to the end of a very sobering prophecy. And it leaves us with the question that I used at the beginning. Are you ready for the final chapter? Are you ready for God to punish and purge and purify and restore? While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that it will not take hail, fire, and brimstone. I pray that it will not take pulpit thumping. I pray that it will not take pain and anguish. But may we turn our face to you, confessing to you, Lord, that we are sinners. Yes, saved by grace, but we continue to sin. And you hate it, Lord. You hate it. Forgive us. Be our refuge. And restore us, Lord, in your sight, that you may see us through the eyes of our Redeemer. We pray in his name. Amen.